reading from the revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, the 7th chapter. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord, and this is our text. Amen. As we gather here this morning, I'd first of all like to take this opportunity from the pulpit to thank everyone who helped make our Reformation 500 celebration a success in the way that we go about measuring things. Our service last Sunday and the contributions of our bell choir, our adult choir, our brass ensemble were excellent under Charlie's direction. I'm grateful for those who have those gifts and who use their gifts and talents in service to the Lord here at Grace. My thanks to the Board of Parish Fellowship for their work organizing and setting up the Reformation Day potluck, and the Board of Evangelism for their help in recognizing our new members, which this year was over the last 2 years since Reformation 2015. We celebrated the 75th anniversary of Grace on that Reformation Sunday. My thanks to Pat for all of her work in helping organize the Luther movie that we showed last Monday evening, as well as our advertising for Reformation 500 leading up to our celebration as Lutheran Christians. Finally, to Elisa Coffey and to Charlie for their recital on Tuesday evening, followed appropriately by Vespers for Reformation Day as we gathered in this place. I'm pleased with all the efforts of so many and the attendance at all of these functions. So my thanks. Last Sunday, we sang the hymn, "Though All Our Life Is Like a Scroll," which won the Reformation hymn competition sponsored by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I think that hymn will find its place in future hymnals of our synod. The hymn verse written by the Reverend Dr. Wilfred Carsten is quite powerful, as was the tune to which it was set by Jeffrey Blersch. I wish to refer to its second stanza as we gather around the text this morning from Revelation 7 on this observance of All Saints' Day. This is stanza 2. "Though pompously we try to dress in costumes of our making, though fig leaves of self-righteousness are futile and heartbreaking, yet filthy rags Christ gladly wore, so we would perish nevermore. His grace alone still clothes us." Again, I find this to be a powerful verse in light of the question asked in our text for today. Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The first reading for today from Revelation from the revelation of Jesus Christ given to St. John as he was exiled on the island of Patmos is one of my favorite readings from all of Holy Scripture. It is one that should be of comfort to all those who hear it. It is used quite often at funeral services as it gives us a glimpse of where our departed loved ones are as they stand around the throne of God in that great multitude that no one can count, no one can number, from every nation, from all tribes, from all peoples, from all language groups. In that gathering, we are shown what heaven holds in store for us, the ones coming out of the great tribulation. There is no hunger, there is no thirst, and no sorrow, as we will be fed in the heavenly banquet table and be surrounded by all those who have gone before us and all those who come after us before the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who will be our shepherd, who will continue, better said, to be our shepherd. There is one more thing that we should have pointed out to us, that there'll be no hunger, no thirst, no sorrow, and you will not have to worry about what you will wear, because it will be provided for you, and we will all look the same. Now, for those who worry about what to wear to any given event, or those who are fashion conscious, that should give some relief for your worry, but it may cause, or it may be a cause for some concern if you don't wish to look like everyone else. Fashion is indeed important for many people. Billions of dollars are spent on clothing every year in this country in an attempt to keep up with current fashion, current trends. Fashion designers recognize that, and they are good at changing styles, even if ever so slightly, to ensure that those who are fashion conscious will make it a point to buy the latest styles, which will prove to be beneficial for their business. Just makes good sense if that's how you make your money. I must admit that I love nice clothes, but I'm having a real problem with the current styles in men's clothing. That could speak to my physical shape, but it just appears to me that the clothing being put forth for men to wear today is too tight, and by all appearances, a size too small. Sleeves are too short, as are the length of suit and sports coats, and so I'm left to look like a dinosaur, wearing selections that I find to be maybe a little more comfortable and a little bit more tailored to the shape. At the same time, I am reminded that we came into this world with nothing, and so too will we leave. St. Paul, writing to Timothy, reminded him, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of this world." The first temptation was enhanced by the serpent putting forth that eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil would make our first parents have open eyes, and they would be like God, knowing good and evil. Eating what was forbidden them resulted in their realization that they were naked, both physically and spiritually. Both conditions brought them shame, for they immediately sewed fig leaves together to cover their physical nakedness. And when they heard the sound of the Lord in the garden, they hid themselves from his presence. They had lost God's image, the holiness in which they were created, and they would not dare attempt to be in his presence as sinners. Certainly we should not either, because our sins are an affront to God. Any attempt on our part to hide them is futile and heartbreaking, as put forth in the hymn stanza that I shared with you earlier. I pointed out recently in a devotion on this new Reformation hymn that I shared with the Fellowship Club the week of Reformation, that one of my spring breaks during college back in the early 70s was spent in Galveston, Texas. I don't recommend it. But anyway, three of my friends and I went that way rather than to Florida because one of my friends had relatives that lived in Dallas, which meant that we could stop on our way and spend a couple of days there without cost before going on to Galveston. We spent a day downtown and we visited Neiman Marcus, the Neiman Marcus department store. There we made our way, if I remember correctly, to the top floor where the restaurant was located. We were quickly made aware that we should not have been there, as a sports coat was necessary to dine. And believe me, we were going to the beach and we didn't take a sports coat. But if we didn't have one, we could rent one for the occasion. Well, that was not in our budget, nor was the fare on the menu within our budget. So we got on the elevator and left. Certainly, we cannot afford the necessary dress to enter heaven. Unbeknownst to many, there is a prescribed dress code for entry. A few weeks ago, we heard the parable of the king who had prepared for his son a lavish wedding feast. Those who were invited failed to come. They had other things to do. There were other things more important in their life. And he sent the servants back to them again to call them to come to the feast, that it was ready. But they treated the king's servants shamefully and they murdered them. The king was enraged by their treatment of his servants. And so he sent his troops who destroyed those who murdered his servants, and they also destroyed the city. So the king sent his servants to invite to the banquet as many as they could find, both good and bad, and they filled the wedding hall. Maybe if you were here that Sunday, you remember that text. If you remember then, when the king arrived and entered the hall to look at his guests, he spotted a man who had no wedding garment. And when the man was unable to respond when asked how he was able to enter without a wedding garment, the king had him bound hand and foot and cast into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Quite the opposite of no more hunger and no more thirst. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Lest we despair that we do not have the appropriate apparel, that we fail to be clothed according to the dress code, understand that it is provided for you and it is free of charge. The robe that is white because of the blood of the Lamb was given to us as we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Certainly the righteousness that is depicted by a white robe is demanded of all of us. Yet, any attempt on our part to provide it ourselves comes up fatally short. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment." What is demanded of us is therefore graciously and lovingly given to us. It's provided for us. The Reformation hymn quoted previously continued, "Yet filthy rags Christ gladly wore, so we could perish nevermore. His grace alone still clothes us." Jesus bore our sins and the sins of the world and carried them to the cross and then buried them in the empty tomb. He who knew no sin became sin for you and for me and for our salvation. As he suffered the pains of crucifixion, he also suffered the pain of humiliation and God-forsakenness. Since sin is an affront to God, he turns his face away from it. And because Jesus, who though he was stripped naked and was crucified, bore our sins on the cross, his Father turned away from him. The answer to Jesus' word on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me, is so that you and so that I and so that all who trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior would never be God forsaken. Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There we are. And here, by God's grace, we can sing, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are my glorious dress. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.